I would like to call to order the Senate Committee on Labor and Industrial Relations. We have a quorum. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Mendoza.
Here.
Mendoza here, Stone. Stone here, Jackson.
Here.
Jackson here, Leno.
Here.
Leno here, Mitchell. We have a quorum.
Great. I know the authors here and present. Please step forward. We only have one bill in today's agenda. That's AB 520. Assemblymember Levine, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. I am pleased to present AB 520. AB 520 will adopt safety standards about practicing, the work on protecting people from corrosion with those who are well-trained and have the proper skills. With me, I've got Mike West from the painters, Zoe Palitz, and Robert Williams, who can testify to the technical aspects.
Wonderful. Thank you. Witnesses in support.
My name is Robert Williams. I'm a business representative of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades out of District Council 16. I represent multiple crafts, but my primary craft that I represent is industrial painters, the shops and the manpower. When I came into the union, I started painting. I'm a third generation painter that's come in and went through the ranks. When I first started in 1998, I was told I was going to end up living 13 months after I retired. I received 13 paychecks. We had a 25 and out retirement system at that time. So I started when I was 19 or 18 years old. So I was going to be 43 years old by the time I retired, with a mortality rate expected of 13 months after that time. So I was going to barely see my 44th birthday. I'm very proud to say that through our process of training, we've gotten our members to the rate that the life expectancy is at least 73 and a half years old right now. So this is part of what we're doing, is wanting to make sure that the workforce that's out there, that's not only my members, but other members out there as well, that need to be trained and certified in the craft that we're doing. It's a very dangerous industry that we work in, and we need to make sure that everybody's doing it the proper way so that they're well protected on their safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Other witnesses?
There we go. Mike West, Director of Communications, District Council 16. One thing that I want to add to what Robert was saying is common pressures on the job site of schedule and cost and everything might result in a combination of three things happening. So if the containment isn't proper, we get environmental issues, the cost overruns, and the infrastructure investment, if the coatings aren't applied properly, could be an issue if costs, corners are being cut. But the worst would be if the worker's safety was compromised due to, you know, worker-to-worker competition or those kind of pressures from either the contractor or from the third party. So this would level the playing field among, you know, the workers, the contractors. Everybody would be on the same page for safety, and then the resulting benefits on the environmental issues and our infrastructure investment would go hand in hand. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support?
Mr. Chair, members, Cesar Diaz on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council, also in support.
Okay, any other witnesses? Seeing none. Witnesses in opposition, please step forward. I'm sure we could allow one seat for the couple seats. Okay, one of you could stay here, I guess, two on the side.
Mr. Chairman and members, Dave Ackerman representing the Associated General Contractors. We were opposed to the original legislation that kind of spawned this one back 2 years ago when Senator Padilla carried Senate Bill 792. I think it's referenced in your analysis. Mm-hmm. And when the governor vetoed that bill, he specifically charged the Department of Industrial Relations and the Standards Board to engage in a process involving the unions, the painters, the industry, to come to a regulatory solution to it. I understand, and I'm quoting from your analysis, that that process apparently has stalled somewhat, and that may have precipitated the need for this legislation. We respect the regulatory process. We supported that when the governor vetoed the bill. And we think that process should be allowed to run its course, and we'll willingly be glad to participate in that process with DIR. I think specifying in legislation what the regulations you want DIR to specifically write is inappropriate, because that's what the regulatory review process for and involving the public is determine the specifics of that. It may come out to exactly what the bill says, but I think that's what the public process is about, is to determine that and the implications. We're worried or concerned about unintended consequences, and that might be the availability of a workforce. I know when the Senator Padilla's bill was heard 2 years ago, that was in a late night hearing on the last minutes of session as well. There was testimony delivered that only 50 or 60 companies could provide those kind of workers in California. I don't know if that's still the case or not, but I think the DIR should be able to investigate that and determine that we've got, in fact, not only a skilled workforce, but a availability of the workforce, that, because we have to use those people in our public works projects. And I represent some of the largest public works contractors in California. And if we need to use these workers in the process, that's fine, but we need to make sure that we've got availability of them, that they are certified, and that they, Caltrans has hundreds of millions of dollars of projects in process. So those are our comments. We're opposed now because we think the regulatory process should run its course, and maybe this bill is designed to sort of assist that along. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Richard Markison for the Associated Builders and Contractors of California, the Associated Builders and Contractors of San Diego County, the Western Electrical Contractors Association, the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors of California. We share the concerns of AGC about a last-minute bill that creates a new certification program. We would point out that the NACE certification takes, at least according to their website, 6 years to obtain. Even though the bill does have a phase-in period, we're very concerned about the workforce. We're also very concerned about the vagueness and the breadth of the definitions that are included in the bill, simply citing the need for industry and infrastructure. We believe the bill goes much, much further than public works and heavy construction. We believe that the, although there's been frequent discussion about the preparation and applications of coatings, we think the bill is so vague that any coat of paint that was applied for any kind of a rust or other corrosion prevention would fall under the category of this measure, which would virtually preclude anyone from even picking up a spray can on any kind of a project and applying any paint. We agree that the bill is premature, and we do also object to the last minute approach that the sponsor and the author is taking. This is a requires a much more thoughtful process than what we are seeing today. We are opposed.
Great, thank you so much. Any others in opposition? Seeing none, I would like to allow the author, if you want to answer any of those issues that were brought up. I know this might be an opportunity for us to kickstart the negotiations a little bit, since they stalled. In addition, there's nothing wrong, I think, to have a, or for us to set a minimum standard for some of this, for some of the folks that work on these projects. So I don't necessarily have a big concern with that. But do any of my colleagues have any questions? Okay, Vice Chairman Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This kind of rings home with me because my father was a industrial spray painter, had his own business in Los Angeles, used lead-based paints, used to wash his hands in old lacquer thinner to get the paint off his hands. We were not aware of the hazards of these organic solvents and breathing them in and topically utilizing them. He unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago from what was considered Alzheimer's disease, but really what it was, I think, was just the organic deterioration of brain cells from the organic solvents that we didn't know were dangerous at the time that he opened his business. So I certainly appreciate the spirit of this bill, but of course I'm concerned that we have yet another gut and amend that is avoiding public scrutiny and input by people that have a vested interest in furthering certainly the safety of these items. unfortunately, with guts and amends, I mean, I'm seeing it for the first time, a half an hour ago. So I've got to digest, you know, what I see here and try to do what I think is fair for workers and do what's fair for industries that are going to have to comply with these regulations. But in accordance with my quick review, it seems to usurp the role of the Occupational Safety and Health Board. And it fails to meet the standards of adopting standards, which includes looking at demonstration projects, experiments, and the reasonableness of the standards to be enforced. And it's claimed in the analysis that the standards in this bill violates those rules that are set out in the labor code for adopting such standards. And then, of course, we have always with rushed bills like this, we have unintended consequences. One of them is unreasonable access, where while it requires employers to maintain records of compliance with the standard, who's going to go out and they just going to demand to see employee records at a job site? And is this another thing that employers are going to have to deal with? And then what kind of glared out at me is that it seems like we're picking some industries to apply this to and not applying it to others. So this would be a question for the author. Why did this bill exempt the application to plumbing and piping, sheet metal work, and precast concrete, understanding that those products and the application thereof are also susceptible to the same corrosion that you're trying to mitigate through the application of this bill?
Absolutely. So to address some of the questions, so the first question would be the exclusions in the bill. So the exclusion on the plumbing and the HVAC systems isn't the coating that's going on them. It's the system connection points. So there's materials that are put on as technical speaking is a corrosion prevention in the small system, but in the overall full system of it, that's not what we're discussing. We're discussing the connection points of the materials as they're coming together, and that would also fall under the less than 100 square foot regulation. Just like as the gentleman had brought up, if somebody comes out with a Rust-Oleum can to touch up a little spot, that would fall under that exemption. Many of the projects that they're discussing already about the prevailing or the public works projects and the heavy industry, that is all, the majority of those are already covered under something similar. Where we're finding this issue is a lot of private work where you have people that are coming in at the lowest rate and trying to cut as many corners as they can. And that's where, just like you said, my grandfather passed away from something very similar of a deterioration of his immune system over the years of using all the chemicals. We want to prevent that. We want to make sure that doesn't happen. And what we're trying to do is see that the issues that are already being addressed on the public works projects are being addressed throughout the industry. The industry is a lot larger than just that. The regulatory process, we agree, is a great process. We've already been in that process for 2 years. When we were told where to go with it, we've followed all the directions to get to that point. We've followed those steps, and we're getting to a point to where it needs to be addressed at this point.
So where was the failure in the process?
There's been many. we've had letters sent in addressing the staff to try to help get a jump start on this, and we've gotten no response from them. We had a committee hearing back in January. Mm-hmm. We still haven't seen the meeting minutes from that committee meeting. The standards board approved the adoption of this 7-0 back in, no, that was January. And there's been no progress on this in following the advisory board or the standard board's recommendation.
Okay. And then just finally, can you just explain how this is not applicable to precast concrete that is used, you know, in a number of sewer projects? And coatings and the continuity of laying those pipes?
Absolutely. On the majority of precast concrete on a structure like you're talking about is coming out with a form release that acts as a sealer. That's not applied at that point, but what it does state in the regulation is that they would have to be done by somebody that's in an applicable craft that has graduated from an apprenticeship program, so that you're getting somebody that understands what they're doing. That's not what I train my members to do. That's not what my apprenticeship program trains them in. So it would not be appropriate for me to regulate that side.
Thank you for your answers.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from committee members? Senator Mitchell.
Thank you. If the author could just address Senator Stone's question about kind of the late amendments and the significant section additions to the bill that just went into print on the 15th. You could address that. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, thank you. I think, you know, the goal of this bill is, of course, to protect worker health, protect the environment, and also to protect the investments in infrastructure. The delay that Mr. Williams described is something that is a concern because it stops us from being able to protect all of those things. And I think, as the chairman noted, if there is a way to kickstart or engage in that process to protect those things, that we have a role to play.
Thank you. Okay, Senator Jackson.
Yeah, I think it begs the obvious question: why? What's causing the delay? You know, we do legislation. The message, I assume, to the governor is, come on, you vetoed this bill. I think I supported it in 2013, as did others, because we wanted to get these issues resolved. The governor said, no, we don't need to do it this way. We'll go ahead and I'll give directions to the agency. And if something happened, it stopped. It stalled. So is there any explanation? Is there any insight you can give us as to why these discussions have stalled, and what is there about this bill that might get those stalled discussions back on track?
Yeah, I can give you a sense of the timeline. Zoe Palich from Ultra Liberzon on behalf of the IUPA team. So 2 years ago, the legislature passed AB 792, which would have required the NACE 13 ACS 1 standard to be applied to public works projects. The governor vetoed it but said that he'd like to see this done through the standards board. So a year ago, the IUPAT filed a petition to the standards board to adopt a regulation along these lines. And in January, the standards board approved the petition. So, you know, so said that this was, you know, was necessary for the protection of worker health and safety, but they sent it to an advisory committee to work out some of the details. And it's been in that advisory committee that progress has stalled. We've had one advisory committee meeting, and then, you know, and that was in May, so that was, you know, 5 months after the standards board had approved the petition. Then we had a subcommittee meeting in July, and there's just been very lengthy delays between each of these meetings, notwithstanding general support, although, you know, issues have been worked out in the room, and there seems to be some amount of consensus moving forward, but there have been, you know, kind of delays in just getting meetings scheduled and getting people together to address some of these issues. I wanted to touch on the questions about discretion. I mean, the idea of this bill still allows the standards board, gives the standards board discretion to do things like, you know, address definitions of industrial and infrastructure. None of that is taken away, and it doesn't usurp the process. It kickstarts the process and kind of reminds everybody what we're doing and what the legislature cared about 2 years ago, and, you know, and that everybody still cares now, and just make sure that, you know, that we kind of see this through to culmination in an expeditious fashion. At times it feels like we just, you know, got prioritized below other things, and that, you know, that the process hasn't moved forward.
I think just to add, I think that Ms. Palich described this quite accurately, but separate and distinct from this, you know, I've had other bills vetoed where the governor provided direction for an agency or a board, and we have not seen movement. So as much as we would wish that these agencies and boards hear the legislature's desire or even the governor's direction to help move things along, they don't always happen with speed or even with delay.
So wouldn't perhaps the best approach be to have those agencies during the budget time when they step up and ask for funding be advised that there's not going to be funding if they can't meet responsibilities that they've been given by the legislature, or do you think this bill is going to be the way to get their attention and their cooperation?
Senator, there are multiple approaches that we can take. I also have been through, as you have, a number of budgets that have been negotiated. And while we may express our desires at budget hearings, often many of those decisions end up getting made, in a negotiation that takes place away from those hearings, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Any more comments, questions? Okay. No, I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. I do think that we are instructing the Occupational Safety and Health Standards Boards to adopt these regulations. We're not actually telling them what to do per se. And it does give an opportunity. We actually define what corrosion prevention is, and I do think that it does carry some employee privacy provisions in here that are important. And I do think this bill needs to move forward. And would you like to close on your bill?
Well, thank you for your comments. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Great. Wonderful. Go ahead. We do have a motion. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is that the measure be returned to the floor. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone? Stone, no. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Your bill is out, 4-1.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Senators.
Great. We are adjourned.